Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
One time, ladies and gentlemen, we are live and direct.
Hey, this is Wade.
And this is DJ CJ. We're the hosts of Discorder Radio.
Here in Vancouver.
Here are a new take on the 30-year legacy of Discorder Magazine, your Vancouver Indie Music Monthly, featuring hot local bands, live interviews, and good times.
Yeah!
Tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. for your weekly dose of what's happening in print, on stage, and live on the airwaves. It's Discorder Radio.
Discorder.
On CITR.
CITO.
CITR.
101.9
FM. 101.9
FM
in Vancouver.
It's 4 o'clock, it's Tuesday, it's time for Discorder Radio on CITR 101.9. Today on the show, a jam-packed lineup, including three new voices to add to their insights of the Vancouver music scene to our show. We also got a look ahead to the Folk Fest happening this weekend, as well as a recap of the Killer Cats Aligner Fest, which happened this past weekend, including these guys who played the CITR stage. It's Cool, Cool the Band, with Best New Track on Discorder Radio. Discorder Radio, CITR 101.9. That was Cool. Cool the Band with their brand new track, Best New Track, from their brand new, Best New EP.
The lack of nouns or anything is getting to us, isn't it?
I asked them this past weekend. We're going to get into this in a moment. But how often they laugh when people reference the term cool in reference to their band. Mm-hmm. Because you say, oh, this is cool. Cool the band. Cool. Ha ha. It makes you realize how often we say cool in regular everyday conversation.
True. And in music. Because it's cool.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Yes, Cool the Band, made up of four members of Apollo Ghost, Sean Razick, Adrian Teacher, and Amanda, whose last name I forget at this time. Three upstanding Vancouver musicians who all graced the CITR stage this past Saturday as part of the amazing Catalano Fest. It was the fourth annual street party they have there on West 4th Avenue. It started in 2011. With a few bands and a few stages. In just 4 years, it's grown massively to now where they have about 150,000 people was the estimated attendance on the weekend. They've got eight stages set up from McDonald to Burrard. It was a massive street party, huge success. We were very proud to be sponsoring the stage at Cypress and 4th. And we had seven or eight bands playing from noon right up until 7 o'clock. And with no disrespect to the other bands that played, I think the highlight was definitely the 4 o'clock show, which featured the aforementioned Cool the Band.
Absolutely. I mean, one of my personal highlights was the Evaporators, but Cool obviously blew the lid on that stage.
Yes. Well, we won't let that Evaporator conversation evaporate just yet. We're gonna get into a bit of a Catalano recap later in the show with a few of the new voices here we've got helping us out at Discord Radio. But just quickly back on Cool, very impressed. Sean Mrazek, who's the drummer in Cool, has his own gig with Sean Mrazek Lives. They played right after Phoenix Thunderbird, who kicked off a great show. Very appropriate that Phoenix Thunderbird was the opening act. They're great friends of the station. They're such a great rockin' act to kick it off, kicking it off with some high kicks. Yeah, that was very entertaining. Sean Mrazek Lives played at 1 o'clock. Sunday Morning was on at 2. Inherent Vices was on at 3. And then 4 o'clock, as I said, my personal highlight, and I think for many that were in the region, it was definitely the highlight of our stage, just because of the fun, fresh summer-ish energy that Cool brings to their live performances.
Absolutely. I mean, Adrian's guitar was just absolutely bringing the summer vibes, I think.
And he's got a real humble likability about him as well.
I loved how he used that little computer voice too.
That's true.
Yeah. That was a nice touch.
Yeah, it was just like saying thank you, thank you, thank you, and just lots of little like samples. But just I hadn't really got a chance to meet him until this past weekend, and he had this real. I mean, the guy looks like a total rock star. He's got the beard, the long hair. The guy, like, he really looks, no pun intended, just so cool. But his on-stage presence was one of real, like a humble gratitude, just real kind of happy-go-lucky, just really happy to be there. So tons of likability on those guys. We had a chance to chat with them after their very cool performance. All right, enough of the cool references, but I'm sure there's more going to happen along the way. And this is a bit of our chat with them right after the show. This is about 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon from Kitsilano. We're going to play a bit of cool track after, followed by Inherent Vices. And then after that, we're going to come back with our Kitsilano live studio recap. But here is our conversation with Cool from Saturday afternoon.
At the corner of Cypress and 4th, Kitsilano Festival. It's been a great day here in the city. And fresh off the heels of their kick-ass performance, we have the members of Cool with us right now. Great job, guys. Who do we have with us? Who are the members of Cool?
Sean.
Adrian.
Amanda.
Nice job, guys. And we have about four or five backup singers there as well. How about do they get a mention as well?
Oh, sure, yeah. Who we got?
You got Rose, Megan, Larissa.
And Alicia,
yep.
Nice. Definitely added
and Jessica sometimes.
Oh, yeah, Jessica is Stacy. The role of Stacy is played by Jessica.
They definitely had added a certain level of presence.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've heard the album, and I guess I've heard the backup singers. I just didn't expect you to show up with this entourage of backup singers. Yeah. Do you bring them to every show?
Yes, we do. We have there's a 1-800 number we call, 1-800-COOLETTE, and whoever's available comes down to the show.
Nice.
That actually would be a real 1-800 number. It's enough letters. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That would work.
So when did Cool come together? And how did this three-pack form?
Sackville.
Ben Live, Shindig fame walking
Ben
by,
Lye.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Sackville,
Ben Live brought us together.
Yeah, about a year ago, Ben Live was forming a super group, and so we phoned up some out-of-work musicians, held some auditions, and we all passed the singing and dancing portion. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He's like the Svengali.
Well, congrats. It was serendipitous to happen to walk by at that exact moment then.
Well, he kind of follows us around. We have a morality clause.
He started about a year ago, I think. Last June.
Yep.
Yeah. So
parts of that story were true.
Parts
like
of that
the
story
timeline
were
true. Was true. It just Ben didn't.
You know, you guys are the name Cool.
Yeah.
Cool the band. It's as hard to Google as Boy the Band or Weed, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
Girl.
Recently, there's been a switch in the Google's.
Analytics.
We made a lot of money for that.
Yeah. I was wondering what happened there, yeah.
Serious headway, yeah.
Now, what else, being here as part of the festival today, do you guys have plans to see any other bands? And who are you most excited to see?
Well, we're going to pop over and try and catch Sean is drumming for the Evaporators in a short while. And
some serious evaporation happening.
Yeah.
I look forward to that. And some people here with the hot summer sweat could use that.
Yeah, we all need it.
Yep. We watched Inherent Vices. They were fantastic.
They were fantastic.
Yep.
Sunday morning was really good, too.
Yep.
Well, listen, guys, it's been great to have you joining us here on the stage. Really proud that you guys were part of the CITR stage. We're really happy for all your success.
Oh, thank you.
I have one last question, too. This question is from Andy, our sound tech.
Yep.
The new EP that you guys are putting out, Brand New Music, is that a dig at Pitchfork?
Best New Music? Yes, it is. Yeah, it definitely is a dig at Pitchfork. For sure, yeah.
More of a gentle
shiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. A gentle shanking.
Would you like to describe, maybe in a little bit greater detail?
Well, I think like I love Pitchfork as much as the next guy. I think it's a great. It's like the New York Times of what's happening musically in the world. But the problem is that they provide a numerical rating to their reviews, which I think is really rough on musicians. And I've seen a lot of bands get tossed off for I just think it's a bad idea to give a number to art. So it's just a kind of gentle poke fun at that. And I think, but at the same time, like their coverage is incredible. Like they cover a lot of stuff. So I don't know. Love-hate relationship.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like the USA. You know, I love the USA, but kind of hate it at the same time. I don't know.
Now, there are people listening all over the world right now.
No, World Wide Web. This is a political band, actually.
Yeah, who knew that?
We're Fugazi.
Who knew a casual chat with Cool is going to turn into all-out war of words between two nations?
Yeah.
Quiet it now.
Okay, guys, thanks again. That was Sean, Adrian, and Amanda from Cool, who played on stage here at the CITR stage as part of Castellano Fest.
Gavin.
Jeremiah.
You're listening to Discorder Radio
on CITR 101.9
on your FM dial.
The 37th Annual Vancouver Folk Music Festival comes to Jericho Beach Park July 18th to the 20th. Over 60 acts from Joan Baez, Andrew Bird, Amos Lee, and Mary Lambert to Ozo Motley and Mauritania's Noura Mintsemali. There's a world of amazing music coming to your own backyard.
The Vancouver Folk Music Festival. Info and tickets at thefestival.bc.ca.
Discord Radio on CITR 101.9. We're back. Yes, Folk Fest is happening this weekend at Jericho Park. It's going to be an incredible weekend. CJ and I will be there. We're going to talk more about that great festival later in the show. Just a quick recap on the last couple songs we played. We heard Saffron from Cool, maybe the song of the summer. We're loving it here. The fans at Catalina were loving it on Saturday. And after that, we heard Inherent Vices with You'll Never Break My Heart, a.k.a. Sadie's song. That was from the Sacred Sigils tape, which was released back in 2012. Inherent Vices played right before Cool at the CITR stage at Catalina on Saturday. And that was them doing their little station ID as well. Burnside, Evan, and Jeremiah from Inherent Vices, a great local Vancouver act. Yes, Catalina was this past Saturday. It was a great event. So to discuss this great event, we bring in some great voices, some great Vancouver voices to help discuss this event with us. I would like to welcome to the show, making their Discorder Radio debut, Mr. Matt Muse.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. How's it going?
Excellent. A fellow UBC journalism alumnus.
Soon to be.
Well, it's all part of the same crew.
Fair enough.
And we have Sanjana as well, and you are new to the CITR family.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's great being here.
Excellent. Great to have you here. Now, both of you fine folks were at the Catalina Festival, along with about 149,000 others this past weekend. I was kind of stuck at the Maple and Cypress stages, which are both good places to be stuck. We, of course, were hosting the stage at Cypress, and the next stage up at Maple was hosted by I'm drawing a blank right about now. We'll find out for you momentarily because CJ, the DJ, is so quick. Oh, Beatroot, of course, Beatroot Magazine. Yeah, I knew it had to be someone in the same kind of musical wavelength as Discorder Radio, because a lot of the same bands, such as Jay Arner and Tough Age and New Sensei, were playing on the Maple stage. But I didn't get a chance to really leave that area. CJ, you didn't really get a chance to leave much either, but you did venture over toward the Burrard stage. But Matt and Sanjana, you guys got to see a little more of the Catalina Festival. So, Matt, why don't you tell us a bit about your Catalina experiences?
All right. Well, the main reason I was there to see Vancouver punk rock legends, The Evaporators. You may know the front man of the band. That's Nardwar. He hosts a show here on CITR on Fridays. He's got a band, and they played at 5:30 at the Burrard stage, and they are always a good time. The way I usually describe them to people is that they are to punk rock what Nardwar is to music journalism. So Wow. They're kind of.
That's a bold statement.
They're a little silly and a little over the top, but like everyone, people get into it, and there's lots of audience participation, and they had a nice Ramones tribute because Tommy Ramone had died that day.
Right.
So they it was really good. It was lots of fun. And actually, if you've seen the cover of their most recent album, the photo was actually taken at the first Cats Festival. What they did was they were on the stage and they all got crouched down and had the audience all put their hands up in the air, and that's the cover of their most recent album. And so they recreated it this year when they played the festival again for the first time in like 3 years or whatever. So yeah, that's I guess their history. But I mean, they're all over. Vancouver is like, or Nardwar is Mr. Vancouver. So.
Well, that's a nice, it's a nice tribute to the Catalina Festival.
Yeah.
to Tommy Ramone. What was their main song they played, by the way? Do you remember?
They played a tune called Mohawks and Dreadlocks, which I was trying to figure out if that is a Ramones song, right? I wasn't familiar to me.
Yeah, I
was looking it up just now, and maybe CJ can get on it, but
he's good at that.
Yeah, it's
you can find out anything within 30 seconds. So why don't we just wax poetic on this topic for a little while?
Well, longer. It was good. Like it was about because I mean back in like the 70s and the early days of punk, I mean it was a little bit more political, especially like the people who were actually in the scene. Like so the reference Mohawks and Dreadlocks is about the punk rockers and like the ska punks and like the Jamaican influenced stuff. And it was about how like everyone, all these various scenes getting together and having a good time together. So it was a really like positive, happy summertime vibe. It was good stuff.
Good stuff. And CJ, is this confirmed?
They're just people.
Okay. Okay. He's right 99 times out of 100. cool. You know what? To be honest, I'm embarrassed to say that I have not seen the Evaporators play live. I know they've been playing a lot in Vancouver since I've been involved here at the station, but just a lot of other things have kind of pulled my attention away.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated your that comparison. I've known Nardwuar for years.
Yeah.
Much music legend. Maybe one of the greatest music interviewers in the country. So to have his band on the same level playing field in terms of their influence in the punk community in Vancouver as Nardwuar's musical journalism influence, that makes me that much more excited to see them. So
totally, yeah, you gotta do. I think they've got a video that's filmed in the CITR studio.
What video is that?
Busy doing nothing.
Okay.
Yeah. Featuring Andrew WK.
I'll get busy doing something and make sure I Google that after the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Okay, and so, Jana, you spent some more time west of, on the west end of the Catalano Festival. You were hanging out around Vine and Balsam. What did some of your experiences encounter that day?
Yeah, the highlight for me was Good for Grapes. They filled in for Aiden Knight at the McDonald's stage as well, and they were really good. A lot of dancers out. Once they started playing.
So did they play twice then that day?
Yeah, they did.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
You know, considering some bands didn't even show up, White Poppy, I'm happy to see that other bands are kind of stepping up in the face of sore throats and other unforeseen instances and taking one for the team and playing one for the festival. Awesome. So did you get to see both their performances?
I did. I actually waited about 4 hours because I just loved them so much.
What a fan you are, huh?
They're so upbeat and yeah.
Did you have CDs from Design afterwards and stuff too?
No, they had a huge audience. It was very hard to kind of get closer to them,
okay.
But it was definitely worth it.
Whenever you stick around Discord Radio, we'll see if we can get you an interview of those guys in the near future. How about that?
The fangirl.
Nice.
It'll be awful.
So tell me a bit about their performance. What stood out for you is what made their performance so memorable?
I think it's just their energy. They were just so spot on. And they just captured the energy of the people in the crowd. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of them too. I mean, there's what, six or seven members of Good for Grapes?
Yeah, I think it's six.
So I guess with that many members on stage, they can that much more energy to feed off of.
Yep.
Which definitely makes a difference. Aside from Good for Grapes, anything else memorable, whether it be highlights or lowlights, that you care to share from your Saturday experience at Catalano?
Zulu Records had a huge sale, and I was so happy. I bought about six records for $350.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm
really glad you shared that because Zulu was actually the co-sponsor of our stage along with CJSF 90.1, conveniently located right between Maple and Cypress streets, which again was, and that's where Beetroot and Discorder had their stages. So it's good to see they kept kind of the real local, hyper local Vancouver music all centered in sort of the same spot. But Zulu Records, I'm glad to hear that people were like, was it busy in Zulu that day as well?
Yeah, there were a lot of people walking in and out, and the store is so big, it looks so small from the outside, but fits a lot of people and a lot of records and. Really tied in the meaning of the festival because it is a local music festival, right? So really brought that all together.
Awesome. Any lowlights you care to share?
Oh, it was really hot.
Okay. Yeah. Well, as long as you had sunscreen, it was probably a highlight.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's all positive news from us here at, as we report on our Catalano Festival. as we were just about to, okay, we can do that. We're gonna come back and play some of your Good for Grapes for our fangirl and Sanjana. But in the meantime, let's play some Evaporators with Andrew WK for our buddy Nardwar and the Evaporators and that great little review there of their show from Matt Muse. So here we go with I Hate Being Late When I'm Early. This is the Evaporators and Andrew WK on Discord Radio on CITR.
Yeah. Stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Discorder Radio, CITR 101.9. We're back in that last set. We heard Good for Grapes with Era's End, as well as The Evaporators and NWK with I Hate Being Late When I'm Early. Thanks again to Matt Muse and Sunjana for sharing their Catalano experiences with us. And by the way, that was a great video from The Evaporators and NWK, shot right here in our very own CITR studios in the sub at UBC. Where none other than Sarah Cordingly, according to Cordingly, is the music director, and she sits with us right now. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, Wade?
Excellent. Good to have you back on the show.
It's good to be back.
Yeah,
it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been probably a good few weeks since you sat in the hot seat there and shared some of your insights on what's happening in the Vancouver music scene.
It has, yes, probably because I took last week off to be at Girls Rock Camp.
Oh, which is a great segue into what we're going to talk about right about now. I love when things just fall into place here. So, first of all, for those not in the know, enlighten us once again as to what Girls Rock Camp is all about.
So Girls Rock Camp is a week-long summer camp for 8 to 17-year-old girls, where they come and learn an instrument and start a band with other girls their own age. And they write a song and practice it throughout the week and perform it at a big showcase on the weekend. So it just took place. A showcase was on Saturday at the same time as this Catalano business you guys are all blabbing about. But I was on the other side of town over at the Rio watching 8 brand new bands that had just been formed at camp play their brand new original songs.
And where physically did the camp take place?
The camp takes place at the Urban Native Youth Association, which is on Commercial and Hastings. And they donate their space every year for us. It's really the only way that we can make camp happen, as it's big enough for 4 bands to practice simultaneously, and it's a kid safe space. So they're huge partners for us. They were just amazing and made us feel so welcome there. And they have a lot of awesome programming themselves. They do a lot of music stuff. They work with the Sarah McLachlan School of Music. They do lots of art, improv, glass art, and they do drum building and cooking classes. So it's a really awesome place, the Urban Native Youth Association.
Very cool. And so how many girls total can take part in this event over the past week?
So we are limited by our space. So we can have 4 bands practicing simultaneously. So we kind of flip that in half. And half of them go to a workshop and half of them have their band practice. So we can have 8 bands all together. And that looked like about 32 girls this year.
And how do those 32, I mean, are there more than 32 that apply? And how do you decide on what 32 get to be accepted?
It's totally just first come, first serve. And no one's turned away for lack of funds. A lot of the campers are largely or fully subsidized. It's completely sliding scale there. Guardian can just choose what amount they pay. The full tuition is $350, and probably about half of the campers paid for their tuition. And so we hold about 10 spots for Native or Aboriginal youth. And other than that, it's just first come, first serve. And we always have a huge wait list, which is kind of sad. And I wish we had the capacity to serve more of them. But because we live in Vancouver and space is such a premium, unfortunately, we can't quite make it happen. But yeah, this is our sixth year, so hopefully they're getting in there eventually. And we do also have some interns, so if they're a little bit older, some of the kids that have come to camp in the past, once they're 16 or 17, sometimes we get them helping out with gear or even doing instruction. And just helping us out as interns.
Cool. It sounds like it's as inclusive as it can be, considering the space. Now, who were some of the bands this year that lent their time to be included in the whole process?
There's more volunteers than there are campers. There's a lot of us there, and mostly local musicians. And then we also have bands play at lunchtime each day. So our lunchtime bands this year were Aura Kogan, who's an amazing singer-songwriter, and the Courtneys, and Fake Tears, Larissa from Fake Tears, who I heard on your program earlier. She's one of the Coolettes. She taught keyboard, and Sontag played, and one of the guitar players of Sontag is our gear coordinator. It's really just a huge group of people. It's like every kind of musician, from blues rock to metal to experimental to electronic. It's a really amazing community. It's a really inspiring bunch of people to be around.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, thanks so much for your involvement with it and being a real driving force behind it. Is there a website people can go to find more information if they want to get on that early bird list for next year, considering it fills up so quick?
There's unfortunately not an early bird list yet. We just opened the application a couple of months before camp. But you can find out more info at girlsrockcampvancouver.ca. And you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. There's also lots of opportunities to support us. We sometimes do Indiegogo campaigns or other fundraiser events throughout the year. You can also just click on the big donate button on girlsrockcampvancouver.ca. And we very soon will have a regular monthly giving program available through the website. So you can just set up through your PayPal to donate a small amount every month. And that helps us out a lot with our year-round costs. We have a lot of gear that we need to store. So that's a pretty big cost throughout the year when we only have sort of one camp and one showcase. There's one month of the year where there's income coming in, and the rest of the year it's just going out. So we do need your support to help these kids and provide access to young women.
There we go. Okay, thanks again, Sarah Courtney, for coming in and telling us all about Girls Rock Camp. Lots of ways to get involved, and lots of great acts who are involved as well. Speaking of ways to get involved, this is The Way. We're going to play Aura Kogan right now, who was involved with this past weekend's Girls Rock Camp. And this is... Aura on CITR 101.9 FM, Discord Radio.
You.
Discorded Radio, CITR 101.9. Aura Kogan with The Way. She was part of Girls Rock Camp this past weekend, along with Courtney's and a few other acts. Thanks again to Sarah Cordingly for coming on in and telling us a bit about Girls Rock Camp, which took place this past weekend at the Rio Theater amidst all the chaos of Catalano Festival. Speaking of festivals, we do have the Vancouver Folk Festival happening next week, and we'll get a little bit more into that right before the end of the show. But we also want to, there's more than just festivals going on in Vancouver. I mean, there's so much going on music-wise in the summertime. And this Thursday at the Railway Club, the band Those Boys Cassidy are going to be there doing a show. CJ, the DJ, who pushes the buttons and pushes the buses up and down here and does basically the guy that keeps the foundation upon which Discord Radio stands, did a great interview with these guys this past week. And we are going to play a snippet of that interview now. If you want to hear the whole thing, feel free to go to our SoundCloud page or our Facebook page. You can hear it on there because it is a great interview, very in-depth. But we're going to play a good chunk of that right about now. So here's our own DJ CJ with Those Boys Cassidy on Discord Radio.
All right. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Rye. I play drums in the band Those Boys Cassidy.
And I'm Tara. I sing backup and play percussion.
The name came from the idea of trying to do something similar to the Ramones, in which we all kind of have the same last name, Cassidy.
Have any of you seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think our keyboard player and our old bass guitar player started calling themselves the Brothers Cassidy like 4 years ago. And then that's how the band name started.
The last time we met, or we talked over the phone, was like June of 2013, and that was when you guys were kicking off your tour from the Princeton pub. Yeah. And so you've been back and forth from Alberta for a couple of times, right?
A couple times since then. We try to get out as much as possible, and being from Alberta, we like to get back there and see all our friends and family and try to play as many shows we can for them.
So when you go to Red Deer, what's the one thing you really look forward to doing?
We usually have a couple barbecues, you know, that's usually pretty taken care of. We see a lot of people we know, and so it's a lot of homecoming. A lot of folks will come out, if you know, people we haven't even seen in more than 10 or 15 years, that just, you know, it's their one chance to come and see us, you know, have a chat. So the place gets packed pretty quickly with a lot of friends.
Well, my mom's house is in a really nice area of town, and we usually stay there when we are in Red Deer. And so we always have to go for walks around the neighborhood. And it's always funny going back to town and seeing how quiet it is compared to Vancouver. It's a bit of a trip, but it's good.
The Red Deer Advocate said you played at the VAT a ton of times. What is this about?
Well, with other bands that I was in, yeah, I've probably played there more than 60 times. When I was a teenager, the first time, I guess I would have been 15 when I played there, and in those days, I had to wait in the car, and I used to have to get, for every show at any bar anywhere in Alberta, you'd have to get permission. You'd get your mom to write you a permission slip that you'd fax into the government liquor board, and then they'd fax you back, and then you'd have to bring all this paperwork, and you're allowed to just... You have to wait outside until it was time to set up your stuff, and then the band would come get you, and you'd go inside, and you'd do your thing, and then you'd have to go wait in the tour van. But I did that for years and eventually turned 18 and kept playing there. But it's kind of the home place. You go back to Red Deer for sure. They have a Sunday night jam there that for years and years has, you know, you'll find every musician in Red Deer come there every week. And cool. Red Deer has a really cool music scene, too, because it has to support all different types of music. So, like, I found, you know, most cities, they have their different scenes, and you play with your bands that are quite similar, whereas there, we'd always have to have pretty eclectic shows. You know, we'd get a metal band, we'd get, you know, other buddies' band, and all the musicians would try to support all of them, because that's all we had, you know, and that, so the scene became just a celebration of music, and people weren't close-minded, you know, growing up there. You know, you... to this day, most of the musicians I know that have even moved on still have that attitude towards music. They try to take as much influence as they can from other things. And the people in our band, you know, Winston and Jessica, I think that we all come from backgrounds like that, where, you know, we try to be influenced by other things, not necessarily just country and rock or, you know, folk and blues, but we all come from punk and metal backgrounds, so it's hard to escape that as well, you know.
Have you joined in any of these Sunday evening jams?
Oh, not me personally, but I've attended many. I grew up in Red Deer too, and I saw Ryan's bands play at the VAT many times before I even knew him. So we all just kind of ended up playing together, and it's always it's a real treat to play there every time.
So let's talk about your new 7-inch, which is called Living for a Change. Last time we met, you said you were a big Townes Van Zandt fan. Yeah. And I was looking at a bunch of Townes Van Zandt stuff, and apparently Waiting Around to Die was the first song he ever wrote. And I'm thinking it's really interesting that Living for a Change as a title is the complete opposite of Waiting Around to Die. What do you think?
Well, I've never really thought of that. I don't know. Any connection to Townes, I'll take. As far as the album itself goes, the three songs we chose to put on there, we've been playing them for quite a while. They were written maybe last year. They're a lot more rock oriented than some of, you know, our stuff on the Chester album, as well as songs we've written since then that will be on another upcoming album. So we thought that they'd be great to put together, and we wanted to get them out there sooner than later. And so we wanted them to go out as one package, and we had the idea to then work with a trumpet player, Jeremy Vint, and John Spinarski, who plays with the Wild North. You might have saw them play this last weekend. And he was in Portage in Maine as well. So he came and played some pedal steel. And we kind of tried to give it a spaghetti western sound in a few parts and tie it all together in that way, and we're pretty happy with it.
Cool. Could you tell us about the recording process? Like, how did you go about composing the tracks with the trumpet and the pedal steel?
Okay. Well, most of the track was all recorded, everything that we do on our behalf. And then for the trumpet, we had it was one song in particular, Red Night Sky, that we knew from the start we wanted to have trumpet on. So we got in contact with Jeremy, and he's a real pro. He's got a master's degree, and he plays in a mariachi band locally, and he's a really busy guy, real professional. So he came and met with us, had a little sit down. We just listened to the tracks, and he had some ideas. We had some ideas, and then, you know, we got him in the studio, and we just basically said, "Go for it, do whatever you want." And we let him do that one track we were concerned with, and then just had him do, you know, same thing on the other two. Had some fun with it. Drank some beers, and just press record, and then
just saw how it overlaid.
Yeah. Just see what comes out of that, and then, like, any, you know, as we go, there'd be certain things we wanted to make sure that we got out of him, and then other stuff that we were just blown away by because of his skill is way beyond anything we can really foresee of trying to have him do. Same with John. We just had him come in, you know, and do his thing, and then after that, we had many sessions where we just sat down and picked out. We probably cut 90% of what we recorded, and, you know, see what works, what doesn't. What's, you know, you don't want it to be too busy. This would be the last thing you want. And it all seemed to work pretty good for all three songs, so we kept parts for all of it.
Let's talk about the show at the Railway Club. When's this happening?
Thursday evening, the 17th. We're going to be opening, and after us will be the Real Ponchos. They're a really great laid-back Western band, local guys. We know they're great dudes. And then we got Union Duke is coming from Toronto, who I have not heard, maybe briefly. I had to listen to something. But I did hear that one of the members is originally from Red Deer.
Oh,
and so, yeah, they had something in the Red Deer paper about him there for their show. But
yeah, I'm really looking forward to that show. That's going to be like a whole crazy night of honky-tonk country blues and soul. Tara will provide the soul.
The soul. Oh, yeah, of course. I've got my own song that I'm doing this time, CJ, so you definitely got to come check it out. The doors are at 8:30. Band start at 9:30, and it's only $7 for the four acts, so it's a good deal.
Anything else you'd like to add to the people out there?
No, man. Just keep on rocking.
In the free world.
Do-do-do-do.
Do do.
Thanks, Nardwar.
Discorder Radio, CITR 101.9. Thanks so much, CJ, for that great interview with those boys, Cassidy. We're going to have that up on our SoundCloud page in no time. So if you want to hear more about that, go to the SoundCloud page, Discorder Radio, or our Facebook page, Discorder Radio, to hear the whole thing. And those guys that once again are playing this Thursday at the Railway Club. It's been a great show. Thanks so much to everybody involved, Sanjana, Matt Muse, Lola, who prepared a bit that we unfortunately couldn't play this week, but we're going to get to it next week. And before next week, so much is happening. Of course, it is the Vancouver Folk Music Festival. So many great acts can be part of that festival, including legends like Joan Baez and Amos Lee, some contemporary favorites like Oza Motley and Foy Vance, and lots of great Canadian acts, including Jay Malinowski and the Dead Coast, Great Lake Swimmers, Brastronauts, Born Ruffians, and these guys. We're going to play, we're going to end the show right now with these guys from the East Coast. They actually won a Juno last year for their stylings. This is In Came the Flood. What I love about this song is this one line where it says In Came the Flood. It sounds like they're saying In Came, but it's actually In Came the Flood. Anyways, we're going to end the show with these guys. Discord Radio, CITR 101, CITR Folk Fest. Thanks for listening. Coming up next, The City with Andy. Discord Radio, CITR 101.9.
Sometimes the world is light. Sometimes the world means so much. Sometimes it can't be right.
Sometimes the world is